Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. One, two,
three, four. Now, put your Tony transistor radios away. Sit up straight in your Jason recliner. You've never heard the footy like this. I'm saved. Hallelujah. This is Triple M NRL.
And it's so good to have your company on this Saturday afternoon, particularly for those of you in Queensland, Brisbane listeners who join us for the first time in the afternoon. Lovely to have your company.
Where have they been? What have they been doing?
Well, they've been just waiting. When's it our turn? Oh, maybe they, of course, they could hear every second of it on the Triple M NRL app.
Yeah,
they
missed some good stuff.
The app's huge.
Look at the app. I know, look at the app. Or listen
to us. The podcast after the show.
Absolutely. We've got so much to get through in this hour. And just because it is the Queensland listeners who have arrived, we will chat very shortly about the Broncos and the Cowboys, that terrific game of football, which they always seem to throw up for us. 24-20 as a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard right now. And exclusively at Tyre Power, buy three, get one free on selected Toyo tyres. We'll get there. Sterlo will join us at 2:30, all heading towards the Warriors taking on the Titans. Tyson Frizzell from the Dragons will also have a chat with us in this hour. So much ahead, but that game, as I said, they all, and you mentioned earlier, Hoops, that they always turn it on. Just a 4-point win for the Broncos this time. But apart, given how they went against the Dragons last week, there was a bit of pressure on those boys.
Well, the 2015 grand final, Tony, has been labelled one of the greatest games of all time, one of the greatest grand finals of all time. Then I remember that the Broncos and the Cowboys had another reinstallment the following season. The Broncos won that game in Golden Point. And last night, under all sorts of pressure, they displayed tremendous siege mentality. It was the world against them, and they needed to come out and make a statement. And in classic Wayne Bennett, Gran Torino on the front porch style, the Broncos came out and delivered in spades. Yeah. It was great to watch. Tevita Pangai Jr.,
a beast.
What a tremendous performance. Oh. Watching him last night, it brought back memories of Petro Sivinasiva, and then he also reminded me of a bloke currently playing, and he was on the opposition last night. A little bit of Jason Taumalolo as well. Yeah. So, great game.
They were down 8-0. I think the Cowboys came out, started very strongly, thought, oh, is this going to be a carry-on from last week? But then they just turned it all around.
Yeah, you know, there would have been a little bit of self-doubt, you'd imagine, coming in early, but apparently Wayne, he lifted the good coaches, they know how to get a reaction out of their group, don't they? And that's certainly what Wayne did, lifted the intensity through the week. I thought you spoke about Pangai. I thought McCulloch was enormous last night. Yeah. I mean, he really drives that forward pack, doesn't he? And his line speed and his aggression in defence. Not a big guy, but just throws his body into everything. And also helping those halves with the organisation. I mean, there's a big debate, isn't there, about who's going to lead this side around. But those two guys seem to share the responsibilities really well last night. And if you've got intent and you've got a pack out there that's gone out with a really good attitude and they're giving you some momentum, I mean, these two guys can... they can get the job done. And look, they're playing against the premiership favourites.
Correct.
I know Morgan wasn't there last night, and they're a little off their best at the moment, the Cowboys. But the Broncos showed last night, especially at Suncorp Stadium, they're going to be damn hard to beat.
Yeah, look, rolling up there, just there to watch the game, and it was enjoyable. You knew you were going to get a cracker. There were some good players on show. But for me, I went there with the mind... I thought of, the Broncos, I just hope they go close. I didn't think they could win last night. I actually tipped the Cowboys in my tipping comp because the way they played last week, the Broncos, I just thought their forwards won't be able to match, you know, the Cowboys through the middle with Taumalolo, obviously Thurston picking them to pieces there, and even Cole Felt, you know, with those kicks. So I thought the Cowboys in a tight one, and even though the Cowboys nearly got there at the end, they didn't deserve to win, the Cowboys. But the Broncos, they bombed a couple of opportunities and they got a couple of rough calls. But that's more like the Broncos that I want to see because it wasn't perfect football, but it was they got embarrassed last week. You know, I think they got embarrassed a few years back when the Bunnies beat them 36-6. And I could tell as a club, you get embarrassed like that. You want to show the fans your first home game what the Broncos are all about.
The thing about the Broncos and when you won all those premierships there, Wendell, was they had this air of arrogance where when you were playing the Broncos, you knew you were in for a damn hard afternoon. Shane Webke, Gordon Tallis, Brad Thorne, Tony Carroll, Wendell Sale, these sort of players. And then the halves were Alan Langer and Kevin Walters, one of the greatest halves pairing of all time. I still think that there's a lot of development to go for Cody Nikorima and Anthony Milford. And I don't think as great a performance as it was last night, I don't think just winning one game answers all of those questions. So we'll see how it's going to play out once Jack Bird comes back. Whether Wayne Bennett decides that he wants to keep Darius Boyd at fullback or perhaps he wants to put him in the halves and young Jermaine Asako is an absolute gun.
I like him, mate.
That's actually his preferred position, is playing at fullback. But from a Wayne Bennett point of view, that is the most emphatic answer that you could possibly put out there last night, and that's why he is the modern-day super coach, seven premierships.
If you think about it, there were seven line breaks last night, five to the Broncos, two to the Cowboys. The Broncos, you know, they usually finish those off a lot better, but even the possession rate, I think it was 57% to the Cowboys. Jonathan Thurston gets that much ball, he makes you pay. So they were off a little bit too last night. I'm not sure why, but, you know, it is what it is, and they did come home strong there.
Well, he's got to run the ball, though, Milford. Sorry, Tony. There was a couple of moments last night when there was absolutely nothing on it. It's sort of like what Munster did last week against the Dogs, where he just got the ball, one off the ruck, and just stepped three or palmed a couple off and went through and really threatened. So as long as he's running the football, I think the rest of his game can come, and I think he can. He's got a decent kicking game. You know, his short kicking game, you know, is probably not as good as it could be. He was a little bit heavy-handed at times last night, but I think between him and Nikorima, if they can get some sort of platform like they did last night, I think they're going to put the Broncos in good field position.
And I just hope Jordan Coe is all right, because that was sickening. I thought it was actually James Roberts.
I think he's got
it just looked terrible.
It
was,
and he kind of turned around when he took that short the goal line dropout. He took it, got them back with the ball, and then that was a horrible injury for him. Wayne Bennett, he said, the super coach back in huge form. He was in terrific form also. Vintage Wayne Bennett, I think you'd have to say.
Loves a press conference.
In the media conference. Let's have a listen.
Did you say the critics who were writing him off after round one?
Don't have to say anything.
Did you say you weren't the best team, Wayne?
No, I said we were.
You were. It was a short dropout idea of yours, Wayne, or the players
just decided? Would have been the players' idea. I got no ideas.
The first thing is they complained by us and
Wayne.
Can you show your faith
in the starting
side?
Well, he came here because of me, so that's why he's here at this club. No other reason. There's no other club in any sport in this country could have pulled together like we did in the last couple of weeks with all the adversity we've been through. So that's what I'm most proud of. You know, you'll never divide us, guys, so stay out of it. Our strength is our club and our people. Thanks.
Drop the mic right there. See you later.
Wow.
That was like a rapper when he just dropped the mic. See you later, boys.
Off he went. I mean, there is, but he believes, obviously, there's not a conspiracy, but there is some kind of thing going on with the media attacking him and the club.
He does believe that, and
it's true.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is, mate.
He's getting a little bit delusional in that respect,
mate.
Wendell. I've got the utmost respect for Wayne. He is the modern day super coach. Everything that he has done in the game, in terms of from the teams he's coached to all the things that he does off the field or away from the game, you have to have the utmost respect for him. However, to suggest that no other club in Australian sport could have survived what the Broncos survived in the last fortnight, to borrow one of Kevy Walters' favourite line, that's hogwash. You go back to the Bulldogs. Hang on, Wendell, let me finish. You go back to the Bulldogs, right? In 2002, the Bulldogs got kicked out of the competition for salary cap rorting, okay? Yeah. In 2004, they had the Coffs Harbour scandal. It was in their faces every day. The media was camped out at training every day. Somehow they galvanised that season and went on to win a competition. No charges were laid. Then you go to the Melbourne Storm years later, okay? They were stripped of all their points, told to play for no points, and they come back a couple of years later and win a premiership in 2012. Yeah. So to say that the Broncos were under more siege and more fire than any other club in Australian sport, no other team would have been able to respond, that's a stretch too far.
Yeah, well, it might be that far, but for me, when Wayne Bennett, like when they get dusted up last week, he's too old, he needs to retire. Last year, he's lost the dressing room, the Broncos, you know, they need someone young. That's probably what he's talking about. I mean, obviously, that's his point of view. I can understand why Wayne's a bit filthy, because it happens all the time. The Broncos set a standard, and I walked in there last night, and I was hoping to see the old Broncos stand up, because if you look at their playing roster, that's not a playing roster that the Broncos, you know, have had over the years. Like, they've had some, you know, a lot of internationals, but that is a young playing roster coming through. So I can understand why Wayne gets pretty ticked off there, because, mate, the media, like, we in the media like shooting players, shooting coaches, whether it's Steve Kearney or whatever. That's your opinion and that's my opinion.
I'll tell you what Wayne is. Wayne is the best card player / spin doctor in the business. He knew exactly what he was doing at the end of that press conference last night, and he also knew exactly what he was doing earlier in the week at training when, in front of all the media, he went over and baked two players, Anthony Milford and Cody Nikorima, in front of everybody in plain sight. So that is what part of what makes Wayne Bennett as good a coach as what he is.
So what about that, what we just heard there? I found that entertaining. But yes, he's got to mix up his material during the season. He can't just do that kind of one-word answer and leave that awkward space.
What do you mean during the season? He's been doing it for 30 years.
I don't see why not, because, mate, that's what we love about it. Look, I love coaches like Craig Bellamy and that, and even Wayne. Like, I know when he's coached us sometimes, and you know when he's in a bit of a mood, and I've been on the end of a few of his bakes, and it's not real nice. You know, he can rip into you, and mate, sometimes you have to tune out, you know.
But you know, it almost sounds petty. I've got no ideas. Would have been the player's idea. I've got no ideas. I find that funny. I think he's cleverer than he kind of gets credit for.
Yeah, and we've all got egos, but for him to bring Kevvy Walters back in, you know, who's the Queensland Origin coach, you know, he understands he needs to evolve too, and so Kevvy's there, and Kevvy gets a bit of credit too for that.
Those answers, Tone, it's Walt Kowalski on the porch in Gran Torino just ripping into the neighbours. It's tremendous. It's fantastic.
I think there is an element, though, of the general public that aren't Broncos fans that do like to see the Broncos struggle.
Of course.
I think the media carry a little bit of that. There's the tall poppy. See, Australians are great at the tall poppy. And I think there's, you know, and it's the whole story and Wayne and the success that they've had. So when people see an opportunity just to give one to the Broncos, generally they take it, Hoops.
Absolutely they do. No question whatsoever. The success that the Broncos have had over the years means that there's a lot of pressure and a lot of expectation on them at all times. And when they don't deliver or they put in a flat performance like they did against St. George Illawarra, then it's going to lead to all sorts of commentary. The other big issue, which was bubbling away all off-season and then really turned into an absolute bonfire leading into the opening game, was the Matt Lodge issue.
Yes.
Now, whichever way you try and cut that, it was always going to be a tough conversation, especially to have in the public arena. I don't think that's an agenda. I think that's the media doing their job.
In fact, and you've said that in fact, Queensland, the team didn't handle that situation as well as they could have.
The Broncos didn't handle that situation as well as they could have, no. And I think they've now admitted that. Well, Wendell, you can't just hide
I agree.
And expect that then nobody's going to ask a question. That's not how it's going to fly.
I agree with that, because he's been like Redcliffe for the last 2 years or something. There's been that system. I agree. Mate, when you have to come back into the game, and I remember being through it myself, I was happy to say, you know, I'll do my 2 years, but then you put up your hand, and if you do that stuff, you know, as you're coming in, it just doesn't blow up like it did last week. And I reckon it took a lot out of the other players, because all of a sudden they're hearing about Lodge, and you could tell the boys actually like him. You know, I look at Instagram and that, and James Roberts and him have got a pretty good bond, and you could tell the boys like Lodge and what he's about. Last night, he was good last night. He was really good.
He was great. He, Tevita Pangai Jr. and Josh Maguire, their middles were absolutely brilliant.
They still had a chance to end the Cowboys, didn't they? They could have the try that wasn't a try.
Mm-hmm. Scotty Bolton in the NRMA insurance padding at the end there.
Never seen anything like it.
No.
Couldn't believe it. For the match-winning play to bounce off the post.
Smashed.
Wasn't there at some point, if you got the ball to and actually touched the goal post with the ball?
In rugby union, it's still a try. Yeah. If you put the ball down in front of it while touching the padding at the goal try, that is a try.
Let's have a look at that. Let's
see if we can reintroduce
investigate.
It. Oh, yeah. Brings glamour back to the game. Now we've got stacks to go. Stock market, we're going to throw that at you next on Saturday, Triple M NRL.
Nobody knows if the stock is going to go up. The Triple M NRL stock market.
All right, gentlemen, I hold in my hand the instructions for this segment, whereby I'll throw a topic at you and you have to tell me whether you are buying, selling or holding the stock. I'm going to start with a person. I'm going to start with Mr. Bryce Cartwright in the halves. Bryce Cartwright in the halves. Ryan Girdler, are you buying, selling or holding?
Unfortunately, I'm going to sell on Bryce in the halves. I think that, he can do the job there. He was successful there with Penrith last year. I think the little run to the finals, he played a fair bit of six. But for mine, I thought he actually left Penrith to go up there and establish himself as a back rower, and I think that's what he needs to do. I saw him play last week again, you know, throwing the ball out the back, too many no-look offloads. For mine, he's a big, strong guy. He needs to run hard, and I think as soon as he gets that part of his game in order, the rest of it will flourish. But while the coaches up there are sending him mixed messages and saying, well, every time there's a issue with the halves, we're going to pull you out of, you know, what your week-to-week role is and throw you in there just to fill a hole, I don't think it's going to be the best for Bryce moving forward or the club, so I'm going to sell.
All right, sell for Gerds, Hoops?
I'm buying. I'm going to buy Bryce in the halves, Tone. I'll tell you why. Because it's just a stopgap measure while Ash Taylor's out. It's only going to be for this week. And Bryce played all his junior footy out at Penrith as a 5'8", so he's got plenty of experience there. Next time, if the Titans are missing a half, I'd go for a young kid called AJ Brimson, who is coming through, player of quite a bit of promise.
Played Queensland 20s last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So he's a good young gun coming through. But I just think Bryce, the Titans, nobody expects them to do anything at all against the Warriors. But if they fight and grind the way that they did against the Raiders last Sunday, they're not without hope.
I'm a massive Bryce Cartwright fan. I've watched him, as we all have, come through. I like him in the back row. So for me, I want to see him in the back row, not at 5'8". So 5'8", we know he can play there, but on the edge, when he's taken him on, he's got that second phase, he's got those skills. Mate, I want him in the forward pack.
All right. Now, it's obviously early in the season for this one, but this is where you make your money, you make an investment, you take a risk with who you're buying or selling. So I'm going to throw a man, we're only giving him 2 weeks so far, but Dean Pay, coach of the Bulldogs. Where are you? They've had two losses, Wendell Saylor. Are you buying, you're selling, you're holding?
No, it's only been 2 weeks. I'm buying Dean Pay. I've seen him as a player. I've seen what he's done coaching with New South Wales coming through that system. The countryside and that, mate, I'm buying Dean Pay every day of the week. There's a bit of dogs of war coming back. So, mate, I'm all in for Dean Pay.
All in, okay.
Yeah. I'm buying Dean Pay as well, Tone. I just think 2 weeks, it's very early days to make that call to sell his stocks so soon in the season. Yeah. It's going to take time for the Bulldogs. I don't expect it to happen in the next 4 weeks. It could take a couple of months. It might even take until next year. But I do believe from what Dean showed in his time under Craig Bellamy and also under Ricky Stewart and as the New South Wales 20s coach, I think he's a coach of immense potential. I love the brand of footy that he coaches his teams
100%.
To play.
Okay, good.
So, I'll hold this point.
I'll hold.
Okay.
Well, I think, as you said, Tony, it's sort of too early in the season. You can't, I haven't seen enough of, what they're planning to do because they haven't done it yet. I've only seen what they've probably been planning not to do. So I know, like the boys, it can take time, but at this point, there's a bit of instability out there at the moment. You see, Turvey's been, hasn't been allowed it again or hasn't been voted back on to the board, and they're bringing some other people in that have had indifference in the past. So maybe Dino's not as safe because he was brought in under different managers.
He's come up against the Melbourne Storm and the Roosters, which are two of the favourites of the competition, along with the Cowboys.
Tough start to the season.
All right, I'm going to go one which is obviously worrying a lot of people. Aaron Woods' hair. Are we buying or selling or holding? He's not holding it at the moment. I'm not sure which version of the Aaron Hoops. Woods hair we're going with, but Hoops, where are you?
Well, Dylan Napa, he was definitely selling, wasn't he, when we spoke to Dylan a little bit earlier. Oh, I'm buying the new version. The Dora the Enforcer version from the opening round against Perth. No, I mean, look, I can't throw too many stones when you've got a Mr. Potato Head like I have. I think even if I could grow hair, I don't know that I'd chop it up like that.
Okay. I'm buying Woodsy's new hairstyle. I like it. Over the years, he's always had a different sort of look, but I just think it's dogs of war, down to business. Yeah. It just represents a bit of change for Woodsy, and I like the no-hair look for the big man.
Yeah. Mate, Aaron Woods is a character of our game, and I love Woodsy. That hair last week, I was embarrassed for him last week. I love him as a bloke. When you're like one of the lead front rowers in the NRL, you can't rock up with Dora the Explorer sort of haircut.
Dora the Enforcer.
The Aaron Woods
She can get cranky in some episodes, Dora.
Once she gets boots involved as well.
It can get ugly, can't it?
The Aaron Woods I saw last night. That's the Aaron Woods that I want to see lead that that Bulldogs forward pack. So Woodsy, mate, I'm all in there for you, brother. I know you love your dog, but that's the Aaron Woods haircut.
All right, and you may know a bit about this. I understand that the Warriors post try, and it's not a celebration. It was a post try tactic where they would gather in a circle and do the look into each other's eyes and do the heavy deep breathing. Came from Kieran Reid? Was an All Blacks?
Come from the All Blacks captain Kieran Reid. Yeah. He went and spent some time with the Warriors over the course of the off season. Yeah. He said, "Fellas, this is a way that we regroup after we put points on the board. We just take a little 3 second. Is the tree falling in the woods or not? And just a little bit of breath in and no one's around. Does anyone hear it? Yeah. So that's why they've decided to instill it.
I just noticed that." They're their state league side as well started. They just scored a try and they went back to the middle and do it. So it's obviously something that's through the club. And while it's working, Tony,
8-4, by the way,
if it ain't broke, just keep doing it.
So you're buying.
Works. I'm buying that. Yeah, there was something.
There's a bit of hippie in you, isn't there?
I don't mind a little bit of breathing, Tony. Sort of helps.
Oh, look, I'm in favour of breathing. Yeah. What about you, Hoops? You like the idea?
I think in the old days, I can't see players like Terry Lamb or Blocker Roach or Craig Gower, any of those sort of blokes buying into it. But
no,
it's 2018. No. Times have changed. Yeah. And mate, if it's working for them,
mate,
good luck.
Mate, I don't mind a high five. I don't mind a bum slap. That's fine. I don't want that breathing stuff. The reason why it works for the All Blacks is because they've got a great roster. They're the All Blacks. So, Kieran, keep your stuff there. Warriors, you're not the All Blacks. Anyway, on that note.
On that note, yes. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Last week, we opened the vault so that these gentlemen could give us some of their predictions for season 2018. Basically, so we could reopen it towards the end of the season and embarrass you.
Yes.
That's just, it's a very simple device, simple idea. We didn't get through all of the topics. There are a couple still to go. So, you know what? I'm going to open the vault right now.
What?
That's better.
That's got better, though. Okay.
That's better.
Okay. The initial vault.
We've changed vaults.
It wasn't even a vault.
The vault sounds like it's in the jungle. Yeah. But okay.
But anybody could have got into the vault we had last week. It was pathetic. So this
I could have picked
safer.
It with a hairpin.
That's right. Okay, we've already got your top eights. We've got the team's going to win. I think we might have the wooden spoon. I'm going to go individual here. Who is going to take out the Dally M medal season 2018? Obviously, you've had one round and a half to come up with some, but who do you think, Hoops?
Yeah, if I had to put my house on it, Tone, then I'd go with somebody who you just want playing for your life, and that's Cameron Smith. So it's going to mean that he has to go back-to-back. I can't remember the last time that somebody did it. I think it might have been Joey Johns going back a few years now. But, look, I just think he rarely gets injured. He's at the absolute peak of his game. Mm-hmm. He's going to feature in Origin, which means he can still accumulate points while he's in there, and often he does get man of the matches. I think he's now equal with Wally Lewis in terms of man of the match awards that he has won playing in the Maroons jumper. So rather than going a little bit left field, I'm going to go Cameron Smith. Okay.
Does it make it a little bit easier for him now that Cooper's gone, who we'd normally sometimes share those awards with?
I did factor a little bit of that in. Yeah, I think, look, he's still got players like Cameron Munster and Nelson Asafa Solomon, Mona, Jesse Bromwich, Billy, when Billy's, he'll clearly be back and playing that 300th game tonight. But, yeah, I think maybe just a little bit good,
Yep.
Del?
Mate, I said Jason Tomalolo about 2 weeks ago, before the comp started. I still think, when there's that bloke in under-9s girds who just does what he wants to? That's like Tomalolo playing in the NRL. Mm. But I'm going to go a little bit sort of left field. I think Cameron Munster. Mm-hmm. I think whether he plays 5-8 and fullback, he'll poll well. I know Cam Smith will take a lot of points, but last week, even Cam Munster, mate, he does it easy. And
he would have got points last week. Yeah. He was outstanding.
Mate, we love Billy, but just even when he brought the ball back, and I felt sorry for Josh Jackson, mate, he had no support there, but the way that he played, he doesn't overplay his hand. That Origin appearance last year gave me so much confidence, and I know the way that he, in the off-season, I think he'll get better from his, his off-field stuff. And, mate, last week he did it easy. And you could just see a bit of humility coming into his game when he got interviewed. I'm a massive Cameron Munster fan. I've been for a while.
Out brilliant last
I remember
week.
Anthony Seibold was talking to me about him years ago. I think they signed him when he was 18. There was him and Nelson and then Sully as well.
I love what a character he is. So after that performance over in Perth, they're all celebrating in the sheds, and he's obviously getting a lot of pats on the back and whatnot. He just takes a quiet moment with Craig Bellamy where he says, I suppose Billy's going to have to come back to reserve grade next week. I just love he's a bit of an old school Larrikin cameraman. So.
But that's the best. And it's even like I told you, that Origin one when Jonathan Thurston was there, he was over there entertaining the boys now because he's a big personality, and Thurston was sitting there and he makes his way over to sit next to JT and just not sort of get a little bit of, you went all right. And JT gave him a little bit of, the old, mate, you went all right. But, it was good to see. They're trying to sort of keep him. Everyone knows what he's got. He's an out-and-out superstar.
Yeah. All right. Who have you got?
I wasn't sure how the Panthers were going to go this year at the start of the year, but given their last week's performance and some of the changes they've made, especially to their attack, I'm going to say Nathan Cleary's going to win the Dally M based on the fact
that
I think based on the fact that consistently when Penrith win, he's always going to be, you know, one of the best on ground. And I think when Penrith lose, as they did sort of a fair bit last year, he was kind of their best player as well. And I think that's what you get with the Dally M medal winner. They're obviously generally playmakers, and they're guys that just I was thinking like Corey Norman and these guys, but they sort of come in and out of the season too much. But this guy plays like a season campaigner. Every week you know what you're going to get with him. And if Penrith have a successful season, I think he's going to give it a shake.
Yeah.
Do you think having the composure of James Maloney there now alongside him helps him take his game even further to the next level?
I think he was headed that way, Hoops, anyway. I think that Maloney, from what I saw last week, it adds a bit different element to the Penrith game, because you see with Matty Moylan how frustrated he can get when things aren't sort of going that way. When they've got the football, he can panic a little bit. But, yeah, Maloney gives him that little bit of composure. But I think, you know, it's Nathan, the way that he prepares for games, and I think he's just his mentality towards the game is what makes him the player that he is, and he'll continue to get better every year.
I know that in the Dragons, Ben Hunt has arrived, and he'll take some points off Gareth
Widdop. Who do you like?
I like Gareth Widdop, and he was there all the way through to the back end. Then he had injuries that ruined the back
end.
Party lines have been taken a little bit. Mm-hmm. All right, and the best off-season, we mentioned Ben Hunt there, best off-season signing early, so that you can tell us who has signed on the dotted line for the best. Who have you got, Wendell?
I got Dane Gagai. I think for me, Dane Gagai, we're going to see the best of him. I think he's, 26, 27?
Yep.
When you're playing with guys like Inglis and obviously Sam Burgess, mate, last week, he made breaks at will. You know, I think he threw a pass there where he probably should have done it back inside to Alex Johnston. But every time he got the ball, he just looked dangerous, and he brings so much. And I've never seen a winger get player of the series. Like last year, he was out and out like a superstar. So I think Dane Gagai for me.
All right. Good.
James Graham. Yeah, I just think what he's going to bring to the club, not just their footy side, but just down there to the club, I think he's a great investment, and I think that'll show on the field and off the field. And he's just a guy that you look at and think, gee, I wish I could have played with him.
That's what they're saying, that not just playing with him, just in terms of the training, what he brings there to the paddock. It seems quite remarkable. I'm going to ask that very question of Tyson Frizzell. We're going to chat with him very shortly as well. Hoops?
I'm going to go James Tedesco at the Roosters. From what we saw from him last night, as much as Cooper Cronk clearly is going to be their direction and their game management, James Tedesco, I think he'll take his game, and he's already played State of Origin for New South Wales. So I think he can really take his game to the next level.
Did you see him last week?
I did see him last week. Yeah, the crowd absolutely gave it to him. I was on the sideline, Wendell, out there.
Oh, that's right, yeah. So, mate, how rocks
are you
and bombs?
You're poo-pooing the whole idea of it.
Yeah, I just don't think, Tedesco. But that's right. That's
one game against his old club.
You're not a fan, Del. You're not a fan?
I'm a Tedesco fan, but he just doesn't seem to last the season, you know? I know he's had a few injuries, and I just, I hope he does.
Consistency-wise or injury-wise?
Yeah, I think a bit of both. Consistency, too. Like, I know when he's on, he's great, but I just think, you know, if you're going to pull points week in, week out, I just don't know if he's got that.
Don't you think that, though, that the fact that he's been playing at the Tigers for a couple of years against a struggling side that have been down the bottom of the table, that the fact that now he's going to have more of a platform to perform on at the Roosters?
Yeah, but he will. But then you're going to have other players that are going to be like Luke Keary. There's going to be, you know, Warrior Hargraves. There's going to be Blake Ferguson. So points-wise, you know, we saw Latrell Mitchell. Latrell Mitchell's going to have a massive season, you know. So I reckon they'll all share their points around as well.
Yeah, he certainly looked
all right,
good
you've talked
night.
Me out of it, Wendell. I'll go Ben Hunt instead, just for you, okay?
No, but he's talking about the Dally M's. This was just – what were we talking about? Best buy of the year. Who's taking the points on that? Who's polling that?
What do you mean? Who's
not
polling?
The Dally
You're
M.
one of the judges.
Who did you say for the Dally
I said,
M?
I said Tedesco.
I thought I said Tedesco for best buy.
We're up to best buy.
I said Tedesco for best buy. I said Cameron Smith.
Quick, somebody close that vault door.
Oh yeah,
close that vault door.
What's happened?
Where are we going?
What's happening, boys? Answer the question.
Answer the question, indeed. Tyson Frizzell will be charged with answering the question from us very shortly. We'll have a chat with him. Plus, a tribute to the great Billy Slater. 300 games. That happens tonight at Saturday Triple M and RL. The games later on this evening, one of them, of course, does include the 300th for the great Billy Slater. He has been injured. And of course, all injury reports, thanks to Skills Certified. He's been out, was it missed last week, didn't have the trip to Perth, but yep. He arrives back in Melbourne, the old hometown, to run out there this evening for his 300th. It's an amazing achievement for any player, and particularly for a man who has gone through all of those injuries over his career. He is, and it's cliche, an ornament to the game. And so much so, Gerds, that I thought we should have a proper tribute, one with music underneath it and everything. And we've done the production. The only person I haven't told is the man who's having to make the tribute, and that's you, Wendell Saylor. So if I...
Well, he's almost a show over there.
It's Billy Slater, 300 games tonight.
Yeah, I know
so
that.
If you could give him some love over this.
Straight from the heart, Big Del. Mm-hmm. Let it out.
Billy Slater, one of the greats of our game. A boy from far north Queensland, up there in Illawarra. He grew up on bananas. He was built like a jockey, but tonight he plays his 300 games. And you know what? We all stand and applaud Billy's buddies because it's Cyclone Billy tonight. 300 games. Well done, Billy Slater. We stand and applaud you. Tonight is your night, and the game is better for having you in it.
Oh, Wendell Saylor. and he slammed the microphone down and walked out of the studio again. Once again.
He's done.
Does he get that off John Laws? Does he do that, Alan Jones? I mean, who does that? Slams the headphones and walks out. Or is that just his own thing?
I've been watching a few of those, comedian sort of thing shows, and then you have your, like, Mike, you know.
Comedian sort of thing shows.
Yeah, you know, look, when they, you know, when they have sort of like, you know, what's that singing show where, No.
I don't know. This is going tremendous. So The Voice.
No, LL Cool J does it. The lip sync battles and all that sort of stuff. I've been watching a lot of those. I'm going to do one for you guys at some stage. It's awesome. You got to see.
A lip sync. Well, mightn't go that well on radio.
No,
that'd be
good.
Can you add a mime section as well? That would be great for that. I really like that. Walking against the wind.
Yeah, mate. That's good. Tara would like that too, just quietly.
Watch me clean the windows, Tony.
Billy Slater.
But can I ask this question? Like, next time you do that, where was I when you guys were talking about that?
Well, that's the question we were asking you.
You threw your headphones and walked out again.
Gentlemen,
Billy Slater, though, 300. We had Jonathan Thurston getting that number last week. 300 is amazing. As I mentioned, he's gone through so much. After the 250s, the numbers of injuries have kind of competed with the number of games for Billy Slater. But he's back. He is just such a brilliant footy player.
The thing that makes Billy so special is the fact that, and Minicello played a similar style of game to Billy, where the point that their contact's always big because they charge at the line, and they're so good. You heard Minnie actually speak about Billy in relation to how he defends and how important he is to the Melbourne defensive line, but the way that he also puts his body on the line as the last member of defence, there's a lot of contact. He's not a big guy, Billy, and he's taken a lot of contact, and I think that's why it's taken him that extra couple of years to get to the 300, but that might also mean, like Minicello, that, you know, he can build a couple of years extra onto his career. I spent some time with him last week, and gee, he looks fit. He's mentally in a really good place at the moment, and he's not going to make a decision on how he goes this year. But I get the feeling, like, I look at JT, Jonathan Thurston, and he looks to me like this is his last year. Like, he's every year it does become harder. We know how bad his shoulder is and the knocks and how targeted he is every week. I wouldn't be surprised if Billy went on and played next year because he looks like he's in a really good place. But he just changed the game as a fullback.
Oh, look, I think you're 100% right there, Gerds. And I remember him coming through Norse. We all saw Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk. I probably didn't get to realise how good Billy Slater was, not just so much on the field. I got to do The Greatest Athlete with him, and we were both representing rugby league, but he came first, I came last. But just everything he did, he went 100 miles, even if it was climbing the walls or whatever. Just so, even if it wasn't his best, I suppose, obstacle, he would be in the top two or top four. If you see the way that he does things and just his work ethic, I'm not surprised. At the end of, you know, a Queensland Origin session or Australian session or Storm session, mate, Billy Slater's there. And it reminded me, Darren Lockyer was the same. So that pedigree, that's why he's the best of the best. And just even what he does off the field, not too many players can sit there a couple of days before an Origin, sit there with a Barbie doll with their daughter to show, you know, what dads can do and then go out there and kill it.
Yeah, in that regard, that's absolutely true. There wouldn't be a supporter of any rugby league team in this competition who wouldn't stand and applaud Billy Slater for getting that 300th game.
Well, I think he's the greatest fullback of all time. People will say, well, hang on a minute, it's hard to compare Billy to players like and Changa Langlands and those style of blokes. But from, you know, I've been covering the game since 2000, Tone, and he's certainly the best fullback I've seen in my time working on the game. The thing with Billy, which really stands out for me, is the way that he changed the way that fullbacks ball play. So you go back five, six seasons, and a lot of fullbacks were simply runners of the football who'd chime into the back line and power through and score great tries, and then obviously need to communicate a hell of a lot in defence and make sure that the line was organised. But Billy, and through his coach Craig Bellamy and having Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk around him, all of a sudden we really started to see his ball skills just improve at a phenomenal rate, and he's continued with that right the way through his career. He's hardly lost a dash of speed at all over the course of what is an absolutely outstanding tenure in the game. So he's just a champion player.
And I think if you look at it last year in Origin, there was half that were divided. Half of the Queensland like legends or whatever were going, no, Darius Boyd. The other half were going, you got to go Billy Slater, because, and Kevy admitted he got that wrong. It's not just the player that Billy Slater is; it's the person he is. He's that sort of person. Once he's on the field, you'll feel more confident for playing with him, and he gives. That's what he gives. Look at Queensland in that second game when he came back. No disrespect to Darius Boyd, I'm a massive Darius Boyd fan, but only Billy Slater can play like that. He took it on the chin. He was disappointed. Kevy Wallace said he got it wrong, and that's what Billy Slater can do, and that's why I can't wait to watch him tonight.
Yeah, he plays his game number 300. Tyson Frizzell, one of the stars in the making for the Dragons. He will join us next on Saturday Triple M and Arrow. The Dragons over the Sharks in that local derby, 20-16. They were the victors on Thursday evening. In no small way, thanks to one of the young greats of our game, Tyson Frizzell, who joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
How you going, guys?
Very, very well, thank you. Congratulations. One kind of pretty in the first round, one ugly but beautifully in the second round against the Sharkies.
Yeah, it was an ugly kind of win for us. It was a pretty tough game. Those games are always pretty scrappy and pretty tough. But, you know, we got a lot out of that game. You know, probably in the past, we probably wouldn't have been able to, you know, come back from those kind of games with all that possession go away from us in the first half. But, yeah, like I said, it was good to get a win down at Shark Park.
Hey, Tyson, congratulations on another great start to the season. I wanted to ask you about your new recruits, so specifically James Graham and Ben Hunt. What have they added to your side, and how have they changed the way that you're playing during games from what they've brought to the club?
Yeah, I don't think we've changed too much in style. They just... You know, they've added a lot more into the structure and the way we play, you know. Tight games like we had, you know, in the past, we probably would have, like I said, went away from what we needed to do. And with that extra leadership there from, you know, Ben Hunt, you know, steering us around, and James Graham having that extra punch through the middle, just it does wonders for us as a team. And, you know, it definitely gives boys around him a lot of confidence in what we're doing. And yeah, just that belief in one another that you got these guys like them two, you know, beside you, you know, cutting the way, you know, through the middle of the park, and Benny Hunt doing his stuff out the back.
Hey Tyson, it's Del, mate. Everyone's been talking about what James Graham brings to the team. We can all see that, not just on the field, but off the field with the young blokes. But a bloke, you know, you've set a really good standard over the last couple of years. But there's two other guys that don't get recognised enough. I think Jack DeBellin has taken his game to another level, and I think he's well in the Origin mix. But also Paul Vaughan, for a front rower, his physique, his leg speed, it just I don't know what he's like to wrestle on that, but he just seems to be getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, mate, he's gone to a new level. You know, those two boys, especially Paul coming from Canberra. And then, yeah, Jack DeBellin, he hasn't been spoken about too much. He got a chance to, you know, come... spent some time in Origin camp, and mate, he's been fine on the radar, but he's been awesome for us as a defensive player, and also with his attacking skills. Playing in the middle field has been, you know, awesome for us. And like you keep saying about Paul Vaughan, you know, I think he's going to grow from the year that he had last year. You know, hopefully he can keep playing well and hopefully push for an Origin spot.
Hey, Tyson, tell me Ben Hunt didn't get a try assist for that kick he put in for you the other night.
Oh, yeah.
How bad was it? Was it one kick? Was it two kicks? But, you know, we've spoken about the new recruits a lot, but probably because, we believe they can add so much to you guys, and especially over on that right side where traditionally you guys have played down the left with Gareth Widdop. When you've ever had opportunity, it seems to go down there. This year with Ben Hunt on your side, and I think we've already seen the benefit with some of the forms so far by Aitken and yourself. It must excite you when you go out there knowing that you've got a genuine ball player and someone that can really threaten the line playing on the inside on that right edge.
Yeah, for sure. And, he's definitely a ball runner as well. So it just adds extra threat on that right-hand side. And, I've been able to play with probably five different halfbacks from my time here at the Dragons. So to have someone there that's going to be here long term is, gives us confidence. And, hopefully we can keep progressing. And, it's still early days and in the way that we want to play. And at times there we can, be a bit scrappy in what we're doing. But, going forward, I think it's just going to, be good for us as an edge and as a team.
As a club, of course, that playing out of both Wollongong and Sydney, now you have players who live in both Wollongong and Sydney. I understand you have a bus that you pull and you drive together down for training. I understand when James Graham drives, that's always a bit of a concern. Not sure where he's going. Talk us through it.
Yeah, we got a bus that starts off at my house, and there's 11 of us guys that travel down to Wollongong. So we organised a bus this year. Called Tonya, and
it's so good. Follow Instagram.
It doesn't stop off at my house. We get a coffee and head down and pick up a few boys down at Heathcote, and makes it a quite enjoyable time. James, he's not too good with directions. He's been travelling to training for 3 months now, and still doesn't know where to go. So we try and limit his time as a driver, but no, it brings all fun and games, and especially young guys and also the new recruits, that it does bring boys a lot closer, and it is nice to have that company when you're traveling and a fair bit to training.
Hey Tyson, I'm gonna ask you about, we talked about you and Aitken the other night after that game, but there's a player that I just think he can be world class, and I think we see bits and pieces. Nana McDonald, to score, to be 100 kilos, to contort your body to be able to score a try like that, I mean, doesn't surprise too many people in our game these days, but mate, he's a pretty fair athlete for a big man.
Yeah, he is a big man. I think he's probably one of the biggest at the club, if not the biggest. But I've spoken about him, with a few of the boys, and he's just a freakish athlete and just so naturally gifted. And, they do stuff like that at training all the time when it's needed. And he is a big body. And to have someone like him with his footwork to be able to come out of the, even out of the back of the field, it's just awesome for us big boys trying to get back, and having a big guy like him, taking the plays one and twos is, awesome for us. So hopefully he can continue and have a big year for us.
If Jimmy's the worst driver, who's the best driver, and why did you call the bus Tonya?
Yeah. It wasn't really. It actually come from Jimmy and Jason Nightingale. They went and watched the premiere of I, Tonya, which is
Tonya Harding.
They try and say she's a bit of a battler coming through, and something about being white and being trashy or something.
That makes sense. Now I get it.
Struggling for sponsors or something like that. All the boys got on board, and we needed a name for her, so we ended up going with Tonya.
That's brilliant, Tyson.
Tyson Frizzell, lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on the season so far. Enjoy, as we enjoy watching you run around.
So easy. Thanks, guys.
There is Tyson Frizzell from the Dragons. Yes, Del?
Mate, the best thing about that club at the moment, it's a happy club, and you can tell that. And, Paul McGregor, he looks happy. But even they got a lot of good young players there. There's a young kid, I think you've seen him too. There's a young kid waiting in the wings, Zach Lomax. He's a pretty fair talent. You've got young Field. There's a lot of good young kids in that squad not getting run at the moment.
Stirler joins us in the next hour as we count down towards the kickoff this afternoon. Plenty ahead. This is Satellite Triple M and NRL.